I love Boston, but like, I also understand why DJ wants to burn it all down. There's something about this city that makes you like, you love it as much as you hate it at the same time. He's got me in some fucking city called Somerville. Last I checked, Somerville was a subpar limbo wannabe. But nope, they got a giant Shell sign. People running shirtless through the rain. It's torrential downpouring. And, like, there is a nor'easter going on. And this dick had me drive out to Boston to fucking see a monkey fight a lizard. Well, here's hoping that this is worth it. Here's hoping this movie kicks ass, because Jesus Christ, I never want to come back here again. Love you, DJ. Let's get to the show.
4 weeks. 5 films. 2 best friends. And a whole lot of kaiju. This is VGU's Into the Monsterverse.
Did you watch the eclipse today?
I did.
It was very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw like enough to think that it was pretty cool. Like, even though it wasn't full totality, it was
yeah.
Still
and I mean,
really
that's
close.
Still kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity for us. Because the next eclipse that's going to span across the states is going to be in 2045, and it's only going to be like in the south. The next one that's going to cross Massachusetts won't be until like 2080 or something.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So actual like once in a lifetime opportunity.
Huh, I know that. Unless I'm not in Mass when I'm 90.
Hmm.
Maybe I'm in the South when I'm 48. God. If I'm ever in the South, just put a bullet in me.
If I'm ever 48, just put a bullet in me.
Well, did you take notes after you got home, or are you just going off? Oh, okay. I tried to write down everything I could.
I mean, it's not like I stopped talking about it since I got home.
Oh, yeah, no. This is one of those talk about it forever type of things. Well, shall we? How are your hot pockets?
Oh.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our final, well, I don't want to say final. Hopefully it's not the final Into the Monsterverse podcast, but for a time, it will be. I am your host, as always, Graydon Webb, joined, as always, by DJ Rizzio, who is needy.
I got hot pockets. Dude, I got these meatball mozzarella ones. They're so good.
Jeez. I like the pepperoni ones. It's the only ones that I can think of enjoying.
I like the, like, the breakfast ones, too, honestly. I get those sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Have you tried the breakfast empanadas at Dunkin'?
No, I have not.
They are so freaking good. It's something about the crust that they
use.
Yeah,
something about the Dunkin' sponsorship, right?
Yeah, that's sweet. Yeah. that delicious, buttery Dunkin' money. So, we're here a little bit later than the past podcasts have been, but that's because we finally saw Godzilla X Kong, A New Empire? The New Empire. We saw it a week after its release, or, well, the following week. And, yeah, I think the overall consensus to begin it is that we enjoyed it.
I need to let things settle, but it might be my favorite.
Okay.
And that's a big surprise for me.
Yeah, I mean,
there were a lot of things that we'll get to that I really didn't think I was going to be crazy on. Not that I thought I would dislike certain things, but I didn't think I'd be like crazy on some things that I ended up absolutely adoring.
Yeah, it definitely takes some risks with what we've seen before. And oh shit, just knocked over a bunch of stuff. But I think it does it all pretty well. So
it absolutely does.
It works well, I'll say, as a Godzilla versus Kong sequel, like compared to another MonsterVerse film. Like, I think you would, if you went into this without seeing any of them, like you could go into certain ones without seeing other ones. I would even argue you could see King of the Monsters on its own.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But if you went into this without seeing Godzilla versus Kong, you would be...
You'd probably be pretty confused, actually, yeah. Given that if you can really put all of that to the side and you just go there for fights, you don't care about context, you don't care about why the hell any of it is happening, then, like, you're totally fine. You can still do that, but to really enjoy it and appreciate it, you should at least see Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah. And I think... Actually, this one, while it does have a parallel human story, this one might have the most monsters on screen content. No?
Oh, I thought you were gonna say like at once. On screen content, yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, because King of the Monsters
has the most, and I was surprised that it's Godzilla x Kong. It should probably be Kong x Godzilla. And yeah. I'm amazed to say that I'm totally okay with that. I was absolutely making fun of Kong before, and I actually loved him in this movie. I thought he was a lot of fun, and I also like that basically his entire, like, reason for being there is just for him to yell, "They jump in me! They jump in me!" And that's how the movie opens. It's just him getting jumped, and this happens a lot to Kong, and it's really entertaining to see him pull through, because on top of that, Kong is very different looking in this movie. He is bigger than ever, and he looks older and wearier than ever, and he has almost that ex-Spec Ops soldier back to do one last mission. Like, that's the vibe I got from him.
He's got grizzled, like, veteran vibe.
Yeah, he's a grizzled war vet. Like, that's the vibe I got from it. I loved it, actually. Like, at the moment I saw him, I was like, no, wait, like you didn't even think it was Kong.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, look at Kong. You're like, that? No, that's not Kong. Like, no, yeah. That's Kong, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you look at him, he's... Like, I thought it was crazy when I went back and watched Kong Skull Island in this series, and I was like, wow, this is him as a young... You know, he was very young in that. And now we have him as this big... I mean, in terms of scale, it's hard to really tell how much bigger he got.
Yeah, but especially since he walks across the skeleton of another Titan that's literally 100 times bigger than he is.
Yeah, that thing was fucking huge.
Yeah.
That was enormous.
One thing with Kong being older and different is that you can actually see this in the other great apes. Is that like excluding the Scar King, because he's very different, he's more orangutan based. The younger ones are always more like a reddish looking if you look at them. Mm-hmm. They have more of that red fur that like he had when he was younger, and then all the older ones are more gray like he is now.
Yeah.
So they actually kind of kept that continuity with the other great apes, which is really cool.
Yeah, what I thought was interesting about the ape design in this, like some of them looked very like human-like. There was one of them that was kind of like the Scar King's henchman, and he kind of looked like, not Neanderthal, I don't think is the word, but that, like, right before that, where it's more just monkey person. And when I first saw him, I thought, oh, are they further along in like an evolution?
For anyone wondering, I just tagged Graydon with the Wikipedia article for evolution.
Why did you do that?
Because you're like, they're kind of like almost human looking. Like,
well, no, I mean, I didn't know if that was supposed to be like, hey, the Hollow Earth has like furthered toward evolution from these apes, or if they're just going to perpetually be apes. But like, then you see the little baby one and he looks different. I think he's younger than
ugly.
He is ugly.
I hate that. No, the entire time when I was sitting there next to him, I'm like, dude, that motherfucker is so... It wasn't even me who said it first. I was thinking, and then Kyle out loud goes, that motherfucker is so ugly. And I'm like, that's what I'm saying. That motherfucker is so ugly. He said it out loud next to me, and I'm like, thank you.
At one point, I heard you go, he looks like a Sicilian.
Yeah, that sounds like something I'd say.
But he didn't look like Kong did in Skull Island. So, like, my point is, I think he was a lot younger.
It also looks like there are, like, subdivisions of the apes in general.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm actually willing to bet that I say that, you know, that he kind of reminds me of, like, an even younger Kong. But it's also possible that he's more closer to Scar King, because you notice that Scar King has a literal, like, sex slave harem.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, like, a crazy fucking thing to see in this movie. I was like, Jesus Christ. Is that what we're doing?
And just, like, regular slaves, too. Like, he's just
camp. And, like, honestly, Scar King was the big surprise for this movie, I think. I mean, obviously, there's Shimo, which we'll get to, but I wasn't crazy on Scar King when I first saw him. I was like, oh, you know, no, it's neat enough. I get, you know, they need a new monster. Like, he's not bad. And then I saw him, like, fight. And he fights like a maniac. Like, he's, like, doing, like, front flips and cartwheels.
Yeah, it's like Yoda.
So cool. Yeah, it's so cool to, like, watch him fight. And I'm like, damn, I actually loved him. And it's crazy how they keep adding these new monsters that are totally original, aren't in, like, the Toho films or anything. And they keep doing a great job. Like, I feel like that's something that would be really easy to fuck up when you have people who love these, like, monsters so much. Actually only seeing new ones and consistently being like, wow, that's really good.
Yeah.
And, like, they've done an amazing job with that.
For all intents and purposes, this doesn't have to be a Godzilla film. Like, you're having these characters that are new. They don't have to be related to Godzilla, but somehow they're able to, like, modernize what Godzilla is furthermore, make a whole new series.
It's so cool as, like, a new, like, Showa-era Godzilla film, and they're really doing good. I really hope we get more. I really hope we get more, especially because the director has said, yeah, I want to do something with Destroya next time.
Did he really?
Yeah. If you go to my Twitter, I quoted it. I was like, please God, he was set up in King of the Monsters.
Oh my god.
And so some people are saying, like, that'd be a cool way to actually close out the MonsterVerse. I'd rather, if they're going to close it out, I'd still rather them close out with Biollante. Biollante needs to be in another film.
It is weird to think of the MonsterVerse ending, because, like,
no
Godzilla...
No one lets anything end.
Yeah, and Godzilla especially has gone on for years and years, and different people pick it up and they put it in different mediums and all these things. But, like, these are huge budget films from a huge studio, and you really just can't do it forever. But if they did want to make it like Legendary's MCU, you could have this go for a decade.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that's something that they can do is, they can end it, maybe not super satisfactorily, but they can absolutely end it with just, like, yeah, you know, Godzilla killed Destroya, and it's like, yeah, and then he goes back to sleep, and yep, that was the end of, like, the major threat titans. We're good now. Would be honestly totally okay if they just sort of end it like that. But, no, this will definitely keep going for a while. I mean, I know, like, Toho loves these films. They love seeing what these films have done. And people love these films. I think this was, like, one of the biggest openings, like, after Dune 2. It was, like, obviously after Dune 2. We're still pretty early in the year anyways, but it had, a really big opening weekend. Like, people were really excited for this movie, it seems. Way more than I thought, honestly. That's really cool to see, because I like when giant monsters hit things, and I want more of that. There were some solid fucking hits in this movie. Like, speaking of monsters hitting shit.
Oh, there's some excellent fights.
To start off with the one in the trailer, where they're fighting in Rio, and, it's Rio when Blue Sky, Restored Blue Sky Studios, where's my Rio 3? Anyways, when the Scar King wraps his, like, bone whip thing around a building, pulls off the top half and hurls it at Kong, and Kong just punches straight fucking through it, was amazing! That was so cool! Godzilla suplexing Kong off of a Great Pyramid? I mean, oh my god! It was so good, and there was an egregious use of slow-mo in this movie, and I'm totally for it. Hello?
Hi. I lost you. I don't know what happened there. You said, and it was, and then it just stopped.
I said, and it was awesome.
Well, it was. It was indeed. That whole Egypt fight was probably my favorite.
My favorite part of the Egypt fight was when Godzilla, first of all, Godzilla literally rushes him from, like, 3,000, like, miles away or some shit.
Yep, right through
like
a pyramid.
Several minutes. Like, it's crazy. And he rushes him, and Godzilla's like, no, no, Kong's like, no, 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 we gotta go down here. And fucking Godzilla's like, no, I'm fucking killing you, bro.
It was like a cartoon moment.
It was, this movie was even more slapstick, and I fucking loved it.
And I love that they can do that without having to, like, make them talk. It's just like, nope, it's just a big...
expression without, like, talking, and Godzilla has always done that in the other movies as well. Obviously, it's easier with Kong, because he has a more human-like face as an ape, but even Godzilla has done that, honestly. Ghidorah, too. And that's always been awesome, and they, like, they've done such a good job with the monsters. I mean, it was so cool to see Tiamat, in motion, which we mentioned, I forget if it was after we talked about King of the Monsters or Godzilla versus Kong, but that was in one of the comics. I think we talked about it, like, after recording.
I think it was King of the Monsters, because he didn't make it to Boston.
Right, yeah. And so Tiamat was an original one they had made, and was actually in the, and was in a comic, so it's really cool to actually see him just go and actually fight Tiamat, which was a brief fight, but also super cool.
That freaking part.
Especially as he powered up after, and that's where he became Pink Godzilla.
But even before that, the bit where he's underwater and you just see a beam shoot through the sky.
It was so cool. Yeah, they just show like the surface of the water.
Like, he was done.
Just, like you could hear like the charge up just muffled under the water. And then it just comes out and then just bits of, just like chunks of Tiamat just start floating to the surface. There's blood everywhere.
So here's my question.
Now I think about it, that was probably the bloodiest scene in the MonsterVerse.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it. And I have seen in Godzilla 2014 when he like atomic breaths down the Muto's throat, if you brighten up that scene is really bloody as well. But the movie's so damn dark you can't see it.
No, you would never know.
But which is just like now occurring to me though, I'm like, damn, that was actually really fucking bloody.
So my question for you with that Tiamat thing is like, all of these, so we know that there's 17 confirmed Titans in this MonsterVerse, and then Godzilla kills like three of them, or at least in beginning of this.
Crab one, he kills Tiamat. Is there another that he killed? I think they said he killed another, but we didn't see it.
But well, then if you go to like Godzilla versus Kong, they were supposedly killing ones like in the main credits. It was like, oh, he killed this guy, he killed it. Like, how do you like that they are? I mean, you look at old Godzilla movies.
I mean, fighting. I think in the credits, he isn't necessarily killing. He might just be fighting them off and telling them to go the fuck back to sleep. So like, they can definitely say that about them. Is that he didn't actually kill those ones? Is something they could definitely say.
He didn't always kill in the old days.
I don't remember specifically what he fought in that, but if anything, I really doubt it was like, you know, a named monster, I'll bet.
Okay.
Because since it's just in the credits, or they could just say, yeah, actually, it was something else. It's something that they could do. But yeah, Godzilla kicks major ass in this, and after he kills Tiamat and absorbs all the energy, if you don't know, that is the, it's the director said that's inspired by the Kaioken from Dragon Ball Z, which Goku does. To like multiply his power.
Yes, I did read that somewhere,
and I'm like, oh my god, that's so fucking cool.
Yeah, because
Akira Toriyama, my goat, his influence is literally unmatched. No one has had the influence that he has.
It's wild. Like everybody has some kind of like attachment to those that story and the way that things are done.
And it's even more than just Dragon Ball, though. Like. You know, like, Mario is, like, based on a Raleigh? Like, did you know that, did you know that he basically started the chibi style he basically created? Like,
no.
Yeah, and now here we are. Like,
wow.
It's actually incredible.
That's crazy. Oh, yeah, so Godzilla, so he gets huge. He enlarges his dorsal plates.
It says that like his the molecular like density of his scales is higher.
Yeah, like he literally evolves into a different version of himself. I saw someone it was mentioned today as Godzilla X, and I didn't know if that was like really what we were calling him. But it was, yeah, he's super cool, and I like how they. like him becoming pink contrasted Shimu being blue, because you think of Godzilla in this MonsterVerse as being like bluish, but now he's got this pink glow, and then when they had that fight at the end, that was just awesome. Like you say, yeah. that making new monsters, like Shimu looks, that's his name, right? Shimu?
Yeah, Shimo. It's she, actually.
Shimo. Shimo. Oh, yes, it is a girl. Shimo. yeah, I loved everything about that Titan. I've said a couple times, I felt like that CG looked like the realism of the Godzilla minus one. Where it's like kind of puppet like there's just something hyper realistic about the way that that CG looks, and yeah, it is so good.
I how do they fucking do it, man?
Yeah,
how do they do it?
It's crazy. It's
absolutely incredible looking every single time. Like, it's like nothing I've ever seen.
And Scar King riding her into battle was awesome.
Oh yeah.
Because he, like, with the fighting style, he has this thing about, like, he's very lanky. And so he can kind of, like, you know, flip and launch himself. And right. That worked. I mean, you contrast Scar King in the anti-gravity fight, where he's, like, kind of grabbing things and jumping around. And Godzilla's, like, floundering with his little
arms. Yeah, that was really amusing. I loved the way that they, like, moved in that.
That was really cool. It's just, all these fights are really good. Remember when Kong tried to ride Godzilla for a moment?
Yeah, that was really entertaining. And the only reason it stopped was because of the anti-gravity.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like, he kind of used him to like launch off of him. It was awesome. Such cool shit.
Is that a mini Kong?
How did they find this place?
He must have sensed you.
Hey, what are you telling?
Oh. Where is he going?
Godzilla won't come down here unless Kong brings him.
But the elephant in the room is that your beloved returned.
Yes, I actually need to still go and find it. Find the tweet that you spoiled it for me.
No, I never did.
You definitely did.
I never did, but I will read a tweet that I had favorited to mention it. This is from at Reasons I'm Broke, I guess their podcast. The new Empire surprises audiences with the return of Kong and Godzilla, blah blah blah, and a pivotal twist. Mothra emerges. Adam Wingard reveals that Mothra's inclusion was always intended, despite initial considerations for a substitute Titan named Phosphera. Assuring fans that Mothra was integral to the narrative from the start, Wingard dispels misconceptions about last-minute changes, emphasizing that the iconic kaiju was part of the script's DNA since its inception. So, like, she was always gonna come back.
Yeah, well, I feel like in one of the generations, Mothra was capable of reviving. It was like a thing that Mothra could do anyways in some earlier versions, maybe. I feel like that's something she could do.
Well, so right before it happened, and I had leaned over to say to you, but I'll say it now. I feel like there is a thing, and I may be wrong about this. There's some kind of old Godzilla thing where there are these like two Asian ladies that like sing. They sing for one of the Titans. Here it is.
Found it. March 28th.
Get
out. You quote tweeted, Godzilla X Kong's a 4-star Kong movie, saddled with a 2-star Godzilla movie, a 2-star Mothra movie, and a 2-star team-up movie. That was when you spoiled it for me. March 28th.
For real?
Yep, I'll screenshot it right now. You didn't even notice. You didn't even spoil it for yourself.
Is that the bald guy, that Darren guy?
Yep.
Ah, that motherfucker.
Yeah, you didn't even notice that you spoiled it.
I honestly might have read Mothra as monster. That might be it, because I didn't even go into this thinking.
Because you told me I went through my tweets, there was nothing, and I'm like, no, there's something.
Yeah, I searched for Mothra.
I remember reading it.
There is that tweet. I am looking at it with my eyes.
There you go.
But
So, just so you know, you basically like ruined my life and I hate you now, but you know, like it's
oh, shut the fuck up. You still cried. You still cried like a big baby.
I love Mothra. She's so beautiful.
So anyway, my point being that I feel like it was Mothra. Maybe it was some other Titan, but that's the vibes that I got from the fact that they turned Jai, the deaf girl. They turned her, the Iwi girl, into basically that, and she's like the harbinger of Mothra every time.
I was like losing my mind how the Iwi's like ancient sanctum is fucking Agartha. I was like losing my fucking mind.
It's like that how you
like
picture
in the chair next to you, like it's Agartha. They're in fucking Agartha. Why are they in fucking Agartha? What is the H-Man gonna come out of portal next? What the fuck's going on here?
A lot of that was
that
stupid.
That was fucking stupid as fuck, and I loved it. I'm just trying to figure out why the fuck are they in fucking Agartha right now, dude? Is Yaku gonna come out?
Like,
what
I
the
feel
fuck
like
is
the
happening?
Kong team, like this movie is very heavily Team Kong.
Oh yeah, no, Kong is like the majority of this movie. I mean, you don't even hear someone speak until like what, like 8 minutes into the movie.
There's only really one Team Godzilla person, and that's Bernie, I think is his name. The podcast guy.
Oh, Brian Tyree Henry.
Is that his name, Bernie?
Yeah. Yeah, he's in Bullet Train. Yes, yeah, Brian Tyree Henry is the actor's name. I don't remember the character's name, but I love him. I remember Trapper. I love his weird, like, like kind of gay, like dynamic with Trapper. I love them.
Trapper,
they're amazing. Trapper, I didn't like at first, and by the end of the movie, I was like, I fucking love Trapper.
He's like he's like an Australian Star-Lord. That, like,
I don't know, man. She just shows up on a cool fucking hovercraft, does dental surgery on fucking Kong, and then is like, yeah, I'm here now.
He's a Titan vet. He has no, like, history. He's got history with the woman, the Kong woman.
Yeah.
And, but he's great. By the end of it, he's great. He does that whole thing. He brings in the weird ass camouflage thing with the bird, the bird.
Yeah, which Titan. I called.
Yeah.
That was the Chekhov's gun of this one.
Camouflage ex machina.
But, I know I love Brian Tyree Henry. I was so happy that Millie Bobby Brown was not here, but that Brian Tyree Henry was.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, I totally would have loved Deadpool 2 kid to be there too, because I like him. Mm-hmm. Millie Bobby Brown didn't put shit into this. And Brian Tyree Henry is clearly having a good time.
Oh, yeah. He's fantastic.
He's having a great time. He's an awesome actor. And I'm totally down for them to keep him into the next one.
Yeah. He could keep coming back. I mean, and even with the fact that, like, you have movies where people are, you know, conspiracy theorists, but he does it in such a non-invasive way. Like, the bit he has, like, the line about his Discord server, and
like, honestly, the, like, couple of minor ways where it was like, really, this is what we're doing, that was in the last movie, they don't do, like, the fluoride in the water and shit.
Yeah.
Which that is, was like, really, where we're gonna do this? It doesn't really happen in this movie, and it's just, he's there for the monsters.
That was all Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah, honestly. So you know, someone said that he mentions that there's this asshole named Ghidorah Stan 64. I saw someone online say that that's the Deadpool 2 kid. Because he couldn't stand Brian Tyree Henry's character in the last movie.
That's awesome. Fucking tap water. I have seen some things with people saying that it's like it's again bogged down by a human story.
I enjoyed them, honestly.
Yeah, it really wasn't that terrible. I mean, you compare this stuff, which is very fantasy like, to and science fictiony, to the first two, not to bring him up in any bad light, but when Serizawa was around, it was very, like, militaristic.
So this is going to something I wanted to say, was that Serizawa was awesome, right? Mm-hmm. Almost all of the people in the last movies were serious. Until, like, Godzilla versus Kong, when none of the humans were serious. Mm-hmm. Right? But now, it's literally just the Kong lady. She's serious, just because, for the sake of exposition. And then everyone else is goofy and having fun, and it perfectly matches, like, the rest of the tone.
Mm-hmm.
And like before, it was like, yeah, you had pretty much, you know, in like 2014 and whatnot, like you had everyone was like serious, but you had Serizawa, who was, because, you know, my boy Ken Watanabe is so fucking awesome that he can just carry all that anyways. Oh, what I wouldn't give to hear him and Brian Tyree Henry's character like speak to each other.
Oh, what if he was like a force ghost?
Let's not do that. let's not do that.
I will.
The monsters are the supernatural part.
I will bring up this thing because I mentioned Sarazawa. So I saw this tweet exchange from someone. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. They were like, Godzilla's the only one allowed to eat, and he owns every single part of the planet, no questions asked. He can evict anyone at any time. Godzilla sucks, man. He's Scar King for the surface. And then
I saw that.
And then someone wrote, as of recently, the biggest conclusion that I've come to about Monster vs. Godzilla is that Sarazawa was fucking insane and wrong about Godzilla being the key to coexistence. Godzilla is a big fat asshole, and every Titan in the Hollow Earth has every right to hate him. And then somebody was like, you know, I realized something. Godzilla only really started to be an asshole after Mothra died.
Yeah, his wife died.
Bro,
yeah,
so
I'd be angry all the time too.
And his wife died, that he literally changed as a person. He only worked with Kong when he saw Mothra was still alive.
Yeah.
It's like
Mothra. Yeah, he misses his wife, bro.
I love that we could just make that the canon. Like that's what it is.
It's 100% believable. I believe that. I literally have no reason to doubt that at all.
I mean, we've talked about it many times with this whole series, but like Godzilla is a lot harder to work with than Kong is. He does what he wants. He doesn't really care about messing up, you know, your city or killing people, but he's going to protect you and he's going to keep the balance. And that's what he's got to do. And it's like, yeah, it is weird that he's like the chosen one and he gets to rule the place and sleep in the Colosseum like a little cat. But, but like, that's just how it is, I guess. He's the alpha. And I mean, especially with this movie, you learn.
Yeah, it's
the whole
worth noting, remember, that you're looking at it from a human perspective.
Mm-hmm.
He is not defending the humans. He is defending the balance of overall nature.
Of nature.
He doesn't actually care about the humans. Kong cares about the humans. And that is stated. That is stated that Godzilla is the defender of nature and the apes are the defenders of humanity. And that clash of defending nature but not necessarily humans is like one of the reasons that the apes and Kong fought to begin with.
Right. Right. And that's the whole thing with this film,
like,
is that,
yeah,
like
in the grand scheme of things, like Godzilla is a good guy. From the human perspective, no, probably not. But it's explicitly stated that he's not the hero of humanity.
And it is kind of, when you think about it, like an allegory for war at the end of it all. It's just like, you know, like things, shit that needs to get done with in the face of what it will do for like humanity. Like there's something there. There's a commentary to be had.
Yeah, this commentary of like when Godzilla goes and like fucks up Tiamat and then takes all the energies, like America being like, we need to go into the Middle East for oil. You don't understand.
Yeah. And then we go into Saudi Arabia.
Everybody
dies, and then we emerge like Goku from a ice prison.
From the hyperbolic time chamber.
So what's Mothra's whole thing? She's just a protector of everyone?
Yeah, like life itself.
Okay, because I learned today that Toho has a clause where Mothra cannot kill.
That would make sense, yeah.
And
that tracks.
Yeah.
Again, you'll notice she still does not kill in this movie.
Remember when she grabs the ship and she's like, wah!
Yeah, it was awesome. Dude, Mothra was so cool. And this, Mothra had like a few close-ups. Too. Like, they really wanted you to look at Mothra in this one.
Yeah, and she's gold in this one. She's not blue. She's got this, like, angelic gold.
I saw someone say that they don't like the, you know, they put up all these hues a lot in these films where it's like, oh, you know, like in Antarctica, like that fight in King of the Monsters between Ghidorah and Godzilla, everything is very blue.
Yes.
And then, like, you know, you have, like, the yellow piss filter over, like, Mexico with Radon. And some people don't like that. They're like, why are they putting these filters over everything? I'm like, I don't know. I kind of like it, though.
Yeah, I mean, you look
like,
at a movie.
I like this, even if it doesn't necessarily match thematically. I kind of like all this, like, coloring that goes into it. You didn't really see much of that in this one, except coming straight from the monsters themselves for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally kind of like it as a whole.
Cairo was pretty yellowish. Well, it was kind of just more like...
I feel like the sand...
Cairo looked very sunny. Yeah. I'm not going to complain about that because we have so many films these days. Like every fucking, I don't know, Disney-ass film that comes out looks saturated and bad or undersaturated. It just looks dark. Everything looks so dark.
Yeah.
And like any movie that's going to have some kind of color. I mean, we've talked about how this whole MonsterVerse has been very well animated. It just looks like there was a lot of thought put into it. Not so much sound design. It still fucking sucks here. It still sucks.
I thought it was a lot better. I didn't really have any issues with it. I thought it was fine.
I don't know. It really just feels like even this is not the first one I've seen in a theater, but the first one that I'm thinking about it while I saw it in a theater. And I was like, when I'm watching it at home, it will be one of those turn down when the monsters come up, turn up when the people talk. Like, it's just this back and forth, up and down of volume.
Yeah, and from what I understand, I think there's been issues with the home releases of these. Yeah, you there?
Oh, hi, hello. There you are.
Yeah, there we go. What are we talking about?
I don't know, but my internet is naturally providing gaps for me to put clips in, so that's gonna It's gonna help the editing process.
Oh, so yeah, sound design. So I thought that the sound design for this was fine. I'm blown away, but then of course, like, you know, the monster roars and stuff. But I thought it was fine. I don't think it was bad. And I've heard that apparently a lot of these have issues with home releases. Like Godzilla 2014 is already a dark movie. It's even darker on the home release, apparently.
Wow.
Like, it's even worse. Like, you can barely see anything. And I was like, yeah, you know, like, maybe... I thought it was maybe just my memory failing me, but it definitely, when I watched it, like, in preparation for our first episode, it definitely felt darker than when I saw it in a theater.
Yeah, it's... That movie
so,
is
like,
hard.
Watching this at home and stuff, I wonder if it's an issue with the home release that just keeps happening for some reason.
I mean, you did say, what if it's a setting on everyone's TV that we
like a game mode or whatever kind of thing for like visuals, but with sound. Yeah, it'd be funny.
I did I wanted to mention Scar King's roar is awesome. Like he's got this guttural.
A lot of stuff about him is just cool.
The rule of cool.
But, yeah, and I didn't think I'd like him, but I did. And I even more so love Shimo, who is such a cool addition. So I read, I don't know if this is true, but someone said that Shimo caused the Ice Age. So it's entirely possible. They say in the movie that Shimo caused the Ice Age. And someone said that she therefore was the one who froze Ghidorah.
Yes.
Which would track, like that would make sense. And I thought that was really cool.
Do we think that stopped Ghidorah from being like fucking shit up when he first came to Earth?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised. Which really shows you just how fucked up everything was back then. Because think about it. You have Godzilla who is at war on multiple fronts. Godzilla is already trying to maintain balance and fight all the other Titans. He's fighting Ghidorah who just fucking showed up. He has to deal with Shimo creating an ice age as well as a bunch of great apes trying to murk him.
Yeah.
So,
my God,
Godzilla was going through some shit back in the day.
Presumably he had Mothra with him, right?
Yes, yeah, presumably.
Like, she was always there, but she can't kill, so what can she really do?
She can help him and give him radiation and save people.
She can die for him.
And she can, yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's not even a joke. Like, that's what she does.
She'll die for him to
Mothra's
make him angry.
That's, like, big thing, is she dies for Godzilla. That's, like, 90% of what she's supposed to do.
Yeah.
But so Shimo is such a cool addition. And again, they keep nailing like these new monsters. Shimo is so cool, such a cool design, and I would love to see a bit more Shimo again.
Shimo's a little cutie.
Yeah, Shimo's adorable. A bit more like I don't know, almost chameleon like, I guess.
Yeah, little like still goes off of that the lizard look.
Yeah.
But kind of axolotl. She looked a bit like an axolotl.
Yes, axolotl. Yes. No, I agree. That's definitely a better way to put it. Yes.
Because she had those little spikes around the face.
Yep. Yeah, her design was honestly adorable. And again, I hope we see more of her. If we get any more, so obviously we'll be seeing even more Mothra, more Godzilla, and God Destroya. I hope Destroya. Apparently, he said also he'd be interested in doing something for Baby Godzilla, who is one ugly motherfucker.
He looks like a Sicilian.
Yeah, might be Romanian for all I know.
I would like to see more Shimo. What the fuck?
Shimo.
In regards to the crystal. Like, I want to know why.
Yeah, I didn't really know what was up with that crystal exactly.
Why she can be, like, controlled? Does that mean Godzilla can be controlled? Are they similar?
Yeah, I didn't know what was up with that. Like, I thought that was kind of, that wasn't really, like, explained at all. I wonder if there was some, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, that was in, they pulled, like, a Rise of Skywalker thing where they're like, yeah, you had to see that in Call of Duty, sorry. And, you know, you'd see Palpatine's speech in Fortnite.
I mean, they could do they could do more with the Monarch show, presumably. I've still not seen that, but if they bring it back, they could explore more. They could do stuff. I mean, there's comics, like we've talked about this. There's a bunch of expanded universe stuff that they have planned or they're in the middle of doing. And because I don't know if I even mentioned it, but in Godzilla versus Kong, that main guy, the Skarsgård dude, his brother went on some expedition and failed, and that's what made him like want to do what happens in that movie. That expedition happens in a comic book.
Oh, like,
so his brother's story is like out there, and you can read it if you care about more MonsterVerse stuff. But it's just crazy how much they're really like they put a lot of thought into this shit. And it's just so wild when I look back and I think, like, how the hell was Kong Skull Island connected to Godzilla? It's like, no, it was always connected. Like, everything was planned. But I have seen a lot of people talking online about, like, this is a Kong movie. Godzilla deserves his own Kong movie. Because, I mean, if you look at it, Godzilla 2014.
It's 100% a Kong movie for sure.
Yeah, and Godzilla deserves to have some more, like, just... Get, now that we've seen him, give him more screen time. Give him some shit. Do like a back in the day him and Mothra type of movie, or I don't know. Someone mentioned is it Anguilar, the Ankylosaurus looking dude.
Yeah, I don't really know much about that one.
They were like, he should show up. They're like buddies, because I know there are some Godzilla guys that he's like friendly with.
Yeah. And they, like, team up sometime and whatnot. They should do Space Godzilla. That's what they should do.
They should. Isn't Destroya the one with, like, crystals?
Destroya is more... Destroya is something. I don't really know how to describe it. Destroya's, like, I'll post you an image of Destroya. Destroya has sort of... he sort of has these... They're not really crystals. They're almost more tooth-like appendages that like come out of him, like these spikes.
Oh.
And has that like weird mouth at his center. Destroy is really fucked up looking, and I really like his design.
He's really scary.
Yeah, no, Destroy is crazy. I mean, Destroy is pretty scary looking. I definitely think Biollante far and away takes the cake for scariest of the month in like Godzilla movies. Unless if you want to count Baby Kong. Baby Kong's really scary looking. I hate that motherfucker.
But he gets his shit wrecked when Kong hits everybody.
Oh, God, I love what he just... Fucking Kong uses him as a weapon and then, like, fucking 300 kicks another ape and just hurls Baby Kong at him. Which, by the way, Baby Kong's name is Suko. If you didn't know, they don't say it in the movie, but he has a name.
Yeah, because there's, like, a novelization that gives all this information that we don't ever see. And that's
like the novelization always says that like it also says like Godzilla sleeps in Rome because it reminds him of Atlantis.
Oh my god, that makes me want to cry. That's the cutest thing in the world.
Yeah.
There was another thing about Mechagodzilla being at some Monarch facility, which is like,
was
what?
That in Monarch?
No, that was in the novelization.
Oh.
Someone tweeted like a bulleted list of novelization facts, and it says Mechagodzilla remains at Monarch facilities. That's what I'm reading. But yeah, the fucking Project Powerhouse. Can we talk about the bullshit of that?
Yeah, the craziest Ex Machina I've ever seen.
So, first of all, that should not have been in the trailers. And this is a franchise that had Godzilla hidden from trailers in scenes that he was in 2014. And they couldn't fucking edit out.
That's true, but some people were really, really excited to see that glove. I think it was a good idea to put it in the trailers.
I just feel like it was so... I don't know. And then it shows up...
Well, I mean, definitely as we were watching, it was like... Well, we're like more than halfway through this movie. When's he going to get the glove? Like,
yeah.
This is going to be really sudden. And yeah, it was. They were like, they were just like, yeah, we had a project to make Kong stronger, but it was, they made us scrap it because, like, we don't want to make one of the strongest Titans even stronger just in case. And then, like, but there was a prototype. Guess where it is? Down the road at the base we were just at. And it's very, like, this, like, Ex Machina or type shit.
I lost
or
Deus. Again.
Is it Ex Machina or Deus?
My bad. Just keep talking.
But it just like it's so out of the blue. They just, yep, we have the glove. It's actually ready. It's just a prototype. It works perfect. And it works perfect. And then he just has the Nintendo Power Glove. Like he just has it now, and it's really, really amusing. You there, Greg?
Try me.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is. I heard a lot of what you were saying.
I was just saying how yeah, he suddenly has the glove and it's really stupid, but I really don't mind it.
The use of the glove was cool because they said that it was in response to Mechagodzilla. They wanted to make it more powerful. But the fact that they were like, well, we have it in Hollow Earth. And it's at the ransacked facility we just so happened to find earlier.
Yeah, and from like the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, and then Trapper was able to get back there.
Yeah, well, what was kind of crazy about it is like, yeah, Trapper was able to like go back and get it, but he also had his big machine that he used to replace Godzilla's tooth to carry it. And I'm
exactly.
Like, when did you get that?
Not to mention, he was able. Presumably to get back there, he had to fly. And I mean, he did it even later with the birds. He knew how to fly the fucking ship they took to Hollow Earth. So why did they take that fat guy who hated everybody just to die?
Because it was funny to watch him die.
Like, everybody knew what. And why was that journey way harder this time than it was Godzilla versus Kong? Nobody went through that crazy, like...
What do you mean? They almost died in Godzilla vs. Kong.
When like, they went through their gravity?
Closely. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why am I forgetting this?
Yeah, they were, like, attacked.
Oh, they were attacked, but it wasn't, like, you know, this, like, weird, the Willy Wonka tunnel thing.
Oh, I mean, no, but it still kind of had similar vibes.
Okay. Right.
It was still very like we are going through immense amounts of G's. I think they just kind of portrayed a bit different this time.
Yeah. But speaking of those, that was really well done because I feel like some of the MonsterVerse stuff has been retconned over time. But you may recall in the first one, they were like, oh yeah, Godzilla, or it was King of the Monsters. They were like, Godzilla travels through these wormholes that get him through Hollow Earth. And now they're known as gravity wells. And they seemingly can pop up anywhere.
No, I don't think it's that they can pop up anywhere. It's that there were some that are undiscovered. So what happens is they're sort of sealed off, but once something goes through them, then they're opened up.
Oh, okay. So that's why the Cairo one.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. And they had them sealed in Agartha as well. Remember, they said, like, yeah, they had them sealed.
Right. And I like how they have they're monitoring that one.
But
on the edge of
their water. Yeah, I think you're missing something there. That more importantly, they're like, yeah. So Godzilla and Kong don't need to be separated. So Kong is in the Hollow Earth. Godzilla's on the surface. But if he's using those wormholes to go between Hollow Earth and the surface, then he's not just on the surface. But
true.
I think they've sort of just said it's more like he isn't technically in a Hollow Earth. He's sort of in the space between. I think, like, he's more using underground tunnels at this point than, like, wormholes.
Well, so Atlantis is like gone because it was exploded.
Yeah, I think it's like Atlantis, where Atlantis is this halfway thing where it's just super deep underground and isn't actually in Hollow Earth. I think it's sort of like that, where he's okay. In this sort of in-between area.
He has like a secret entrance.
Yeah, I don't know, some shit like that. Yeah, he has a crawl space underneath the Earth's crust or something.
the maid's quarters or whatever.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. I feel like people just aren't supposed to look into it this much. But
no, definitely not. You're just supposed to look at them and be like, yeah, that's cool shit.
No one's supposed to watch these films back to back to back.
Yeah.
But we did.
And I only regret 2014.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to top that off, I mean.
Which, by the way, is like one of the highest rated ones on Rotten Tomatoes from critics, which is like fucking absurd.
Yeah, people still love it. I actually just watched a short before we jumped in.
Some critics
here.
Like it. I don't fucking know, like a normal person who's like, yeah, I like 2014.
Yeah, people.
I don't know what normal people is. Also, you'll look at like a lot of the negative reviews for this movie are like, why isn't this coming off of Godzilla Minus One? It's disappointing. It's like, shut the fuck up. It's a show I ever film. Fucking geek. You fucking nerd. Absolute fucking loser. It's a Showa Abra film, not a fucking classic, you fucking dolt. Are you stupid? Are you ill?
Those are just
rock.
Those are just people who don't understand how Godzilla works.
I will kill
you just
them
have
with a hammer.
Oh, I'm so sorry that they're.
I was literally like, I was at work the other day. I was at work the day before we went to see it, and I had Kyle look up like, well, I'll look on movies on Rotten Tomatoes, and we're looking at movies like. I swear, like 95% of them are comparing it to Minus One. And I'm like, oh, first of all, yeah, no, Minus One is a better movie. Let's just get that straight, right? But like, they're fundamentally different. It's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be a Showa era Godzilla film. There's a fucking difference. and like, I'm not even like a fucking Godzilla super fan. I'm just not a fucking idiot.
Yeah, he's a different Godzilla. Like,
this is,
I don't
this is
think of
fundamentally
him as
a different film. It is not supposed to be like that. It is not intended as like a critique of nuclear weapons or war. It is literally just supposed to be cool monster fights, and it does that perfectly. You are judging it by a standard that it did not apply for. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense. Can you tell I'm angry?
Yeah, I can.
I have a fucking degree.
You don't compare the various like comic lines of a superhero to each other and be like, well, this one's, it's not the same because this one's a different Batman. It's like, yeah,
like, I mean, like
Batman.
You can if they're like thematically relevant, right? But true. Like, these are not thematically relevant to each other, like in the slightest.
Yeah, it's just the same name.
Like, yeah, like that's it. I just, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
It's totally okay to say, yeah, you know, I definitely like Godzilla Minus One better. Because I'm like, yeah, no, that tracks. Godzilla Minus One is definitely the better movie. But that's okay because they are Godzilla films. So yeah, I like this one more than the other. But to say that, like, why isn't this movie like Godzilla Minus One is just fucking ridiculous. Like, this was right. Like when Armored Core 6 came out. FromSoft used to make so many fucking mecha games. That was their bread and butter. It was not Dark Souls. Sure, you had Kingsfield back in the day, but their bread and butter since the 90s was mecha games, particularly Armored Core. And Armored Core 6 came out, and people who have only been playing like Dark Souls and stuff for the past, well, fucking, geez, what was it, 2011, 2012, the first Dark Souls came out, so more than 10 years now, were like, why isn't this Dark Souls? Everyone who critiqued the game was like, this isn't Dark Souls, and it's very disappointing. I'm like, because it's not fucking Dark Souls! It's a fucking mecha game. You are flying around and shooting people with a gun. Are you stupid? and it's like the same thing. I'm like, I don't get it.
Right.
Like, it doesn't, I don't fucking understand.
This Mario game doesn't feel like Zelda.
That's what, right? Like, that's what I'm, that's exactly how it is, though. It doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, you know, I'm playing Gran Turismo right now, but why can't I get out of my car and go, like trek through a dungeon? Like, what's up with that? Like, I don't know, maybe because you're playing Gran Turismo, you fucking moron.
I can't rob a storefront.
Like, on the like, Nürburgring. That's how it fucking feels. Like, reading that, it's like, what are you waffling about, bro? You absolute yapster. don't make no sense.
What? Oh my god.
I went to fucking Yapville and everyone knew you.
You're the mayor of Yaptown.
Mayor of Yaptown. Post up at the fucking Yap Temple.
The Titans were the guardians of nature. And the great apes became the protectors of humanity.
The last time those two met up, it was almost the end of Kong.
They don't have to like each other. We just have to work together.
Now I have seen everything.
Well, I can't say that any better than you just threw it down. I recommend this franchise to people who just like that rule of cool shit. It's definitely a good time. None of them are really skippable. I still think 2014's Godzilla is like an interesting little like horror movie kind of.
Yeah, I mean, 2014 definitely has some interesting parts, and like, you know, it's worth giving like the go around like once.
One of Bryan Cranston's best performances. It's got the Mudos are awesome. The fights when they're there are really cool. He does the fucking tail whip again in this one.
Yes.
Oh god, why can't he do that more? I just want to see Godzilla do more cool things with his like his body.
Yeah.
Like he's a big fucking lizard and I want to see him do cool shit, but all he does is beam things and I just want him to rip things apart and punch them. Oh god, I love him. I just love him.
Oh yeah.
But this has made me love Godzilla and even Kong,
I joked about like, oh, Kong the fraud. Not just because they were fighting each other, right? but like, I really did love Kong in this. Yeah. He was awesome.
And now, according to the wiki, he is King Kong. They say.
I guess that makes sense because he is officially king now.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was saying he was King Fraud before, he wasn't. He was just Fraud.
He was just Fraud, yeah.
Yeah.
Skull Island reign of Fraud. yeah. Did you... I have more notes, but we talked about it so good. It's a great time. It was a good film.
I'm going to have to sit on it, but it might be my favorite. In the Lazarus. Like, it really is just such a fun time. There were times where, like, all four of us were like... like watching this
as loud as we could, like, because like it was an empty theater.
Like, yo, and I would like to say that this was reminiscent of when you and I went to see Godzilla 2014 and the theater was fucking empty.
Yep.
There was some dude with his son there and that was it. There were a total of six of us. You, me, Kyle, Gilmar, and some dude and his kid, and that was fucking it. It was awesome.
It ended as it began.
like we were all talking as we watched the movie, just having a good time. It was really good. Yeah. I had such a good time with this movie. It was so much fun, even if the weather sucked afterwards. And
dude, I got
home out of Boston was a pain in the ass. It was awesome.
I got so fucking lost in the hail.
I got on the red line. We transferred from Downtown Crossing onto the red line to go to South Station to stay out of the rain. And when we got off the red line at South Station, it literally dropped like 30 degrees. Ugh. Like suddenly we could see our breath and the stop before we couldn't.
Yeah, like near frostbite.
And then I realized I had missed my train because I read the time wrong like an idiot. And then I take the train all the way back to Attleboro with Gilmar, and he drives me fucking half an hour back home. And like, I literally end up getting home at like almost 1 a.m. On a Wednesday. Well, Thursday, technically. So yeah, I was pretty damn tired, but damn was the movie awesome. I got that limited edition popcorn bucket.
Yeah, I will.
Which is the first time I've ever done that, because I saw, oh, hey, they have that. That'd be funny if I got it. And it was literally like, it held like two like XL jumbo popcorn buckets.
That thing was fucking insane.
Massive. You got the Scar King cup. Gilmar got the Godzilla cup, and he still has the Godzilla on his desk at work.
I'm so jealous. I should have got that fucking Godzilla. I have my Scar King. He's somewhere here, but I will. I'll include that picture in the video podcast when that goes up, because it's too funny. That fucking.
Oh, what
I hope you display that
movie Arcade Lady.
That too, but I hope you display that that popcorn bucket proudly.
Oh yeah, I have it. I have it on my shelf upstairs.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, don't forget to, you know, salute the troops, movie Arcade, and what's her name? The one after where she's like, movie theaters bring us together. I always
forget. Yeah, Nicole Kidman. You were Nicole saluting Kidman. Her.
Yes, yes. I saw. I think I saluted both of them. because you know, yeah, you know, I support our troops, our AMC troops, the AMC Corps.
Yeah. You're a proud member.
Yeah.
But not an AMC Stubbs member.
No, I'm not. So I guess I should have stolen Valor, but you know. And
what?
I love New View Arcade so much, man. I love it. Well, so, you know, every what time I go into a theater, I literally grab Kyle and I shake him like, Kyle, it's New View Arcade. Kyle, download the New View Arcade app. I will never download New View Arcade.
They don't have it. I tried to download it, and it doesn't exist anymore. They got rid of that fucking Space Invaders looking thing.
See the white death letting any of us off this train.
We need to come up with a plan.
I gotta get off this train.
But yeah, before we end up leaving, my surprise for you.
Oh yeah.
And I was gonna segue by saying, you know what I love? I loved Bullet Train.
Oh, you watched it! Isn't it amazing?
I watched it.
The entire fucking bit. Is that it's a Ryan Reynolds movie, but he couldn't do it, so they have Brad Pitt do it, and that's even the fucking twist at the end, was that, yeah, he was sick, so Brad, it's genius!
Is that, like, really the history behind it?
I mean, I don't know if he was actually sick and just couldn't do it, but that's, like, the joke, is that it's a Ryan Reynolds-type script,
right?
But the joke is that, you know, Ryan Reynolds' character was out sick, so Brad Pitt does it.
Well, and, honestly...
And that's the bit. And Brian Tyree Henry, I think that this movie was like, Bullet Train was one of my like first exposures to him. I mean, I know him in Godzilla vs. Kong, but I didn't really learn his name until Bullet Train. And he is fucking incredible. Far and away my favorite character in Bullet Train. I love calling people diesels because of him. Like, no, you understand. Him and what's his name? Clementine or whatever?
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Their dynamic is exactly me and Kyle.
Okay,
and that is like, it's fucking perfect. Like I love their fucking dynamic.
It reminds, a straight man and you're reminds unhinged. Me of us
just like so much. It's just it's awesome, dude. it's so funny. That whole movie is incredible, and it has that really weird like, got a like GoPro on a Fiji bottle scene, which I love.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a weird.
It has
like...
Bad Baby in it who dies several minutes after showing up.
Was he the Spanish guy?
Yeah, like the white suit.
Okay, the wolf or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
It is such a Quentin Tarantino ass movie. Like,
it kind of has that like chaotic vibe to it. Yeah.
It does. It's got this like vignette type a thing that makes it feel like a. It's like a modern Pulp Fiction in a way. Like, it doesn't do
kinda
the.
Does. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Like, I kind of like vibe. Actually, who directed it, by the way? David Leitch? What else has he actually
done? Yeah, he didn't do...
Oh, he did...
He did a John Wick.
He was uncredited director on John Wick, and he produced John Wick. Director on Atomic Blonde, Deadpool 2, Hobbs and Shaw. He produced Nobody. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's directing and producing The Fall Guy with Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, and Emily Blunt,
he's executive producer on all the other John Wicks.
Okay, so we know his action. It was damn well choreographed.
Oh, very well choreographed.
It was funny as hell. It was tense.
So, I loved Brad Pitt's goofy-ass character in this.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like...
He's just supposed to be Ryan Reynolds, and that's the bit at the end when you see everyone was just trying to get revenge on Ryan Reynolds, but he's just out sick. And, like, yeah. That's the whole joke down to the script. It's genius. It's actually so fucking genius.
You don't think of Brad Pitt as like a good comedic actor, but I just recently watched Burn After Reading and he was really fucking good in that, like as a funny character.
Yeah, there are some people where it's like you wouldn't think they'd be good in a comedy, but they are, and that's why I'm excited for the Airplane remake.
Liam Neeson's Airplane.
I'm telling you, he's going to be perfect in that. And solely because of that one scene in Ted 2, I know he's going to be perfect.
he's a funny dude. I like him.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's done, like, once. Is he on SNL and be funny?
I haven't watched SNL in, like, literally, like, 15 years.
Yeah, you're better off for it.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, it was an ensemble cast. Like, every time someone else showed up, I was like, that's Joey King. That's the dude from I think the ticket taker was the dude from Heroes. I really want to say that was him.
Yeah, you know, Heroes. Yeah, I know what that is.
The old show. Remember, what's his name? Oh, God. I meant to look up the cast.
Heroes, like, by Alyssa Clara?
Heroes with Hayden Panettiere. You remember Heroes. Come on. Nope. It's the second time I mentioned it today to another person that doesn't understand what Heroes
when
is.
When I was 8 years old.
Yeah, but it was like the fucking biggest thing in the world, dude. It was enormous.
I've never heard of this.
Shut the front door. You've never heard of
it. I've never heard of this.
Well, you're embarrassing yourself. And yes, it was Masioka. He was in fucking Heroes.
Did it actually, like, finish, or was it one of those things that was good and then ends up on a cliffhanger?
I think it finished. I think it had a spinoff.
Heroes Origins. 6-episode Heroes spinoff.
It had a shit game, too. But, yeah, people liked it. It was actually, like, good before things started getting bad. It was around, like, the Lost era, you know, where, like, things were water cooler. Anyway, yeah, Michael Shannon's the bad guy.
So you mean, the second age of television is the first.
Yeah, the second age.
Well, no, that's what it's called. It started off with The Sopranos, and a lot of people kind of think it just sort of ended, like recently with, like, Game of Thrones ending and a lot of other stuff, Better Call Saul ending. Even though, like, the end of Game of Thrones, like, was completely fucking terrible, a lot of Game of Thrones is very good. I'll say, I remember this Heroes logo with the eclipse. I recognize that.
I thought about it today.
Vaguely familiar. Oh, really? Oh, what made you think of that?
Well, you see, there was an eclipse today.
Yeah, that's true.
You see, I was watching Heroes.
Heroes, where the creator did the screenplay for Teen Wolf 2.
Anyway, Bullet Train is a great film. I'm happy that I got to watch it. I'm sorry it took me so long, but I really enjoyed it. Even the CG looked really cool.
It took me forever as well. Kyle tried to get me to watch it for literally a whole year. And then I think I was, like, on a whim one day. I was like, I'll put it on in the background. And I was glued to the fucking screen.
Yeah, I couldn't look away every time. There's only one thing you're going to hate me for.
What?
I watched the entirety of it on my phone.
You're a fucking idiot. You're a fucking idiot. Why handicap yourself like that?
Because I don't have 2 hours to sit in one place.
Like that's like coming from me, for like someone who like doesn't like even going to theaters for the most part. And I handicap myself by watching on like a monitor or my TV.
Yeah, but at least watching you like sit down. Phone. You sit down in one place and you're like there for a long time and you can watch a movie. I don't have that fucking luxury. We don't all get to work at home like fucking Wade from Kim Possible.
I don't even watch it. I don't even watch movies when I'm working. I gotta work. I like do it on the weekends or after work.
Whatever, bruh. Bullet Train's a good film. Kong X Godzilla is a good film.
That isn't 2 inches.
Maybe I will. I'm gonna buy it. Yeah, you know what I did watch? I only watched on a screen was Everything Everywhere All at Once. Because
I still need to.
But anyway.
You're the only person I've ever heard who has reacted like that to that film, so I know it's great.
No, to be honest with you,
it's gonna be damn fucking good.
To be honest with you, actually, it's like this new thing. People are kind of coming around to like, maybe it wasn't the greatest thing in the world, but I do understand that not that I hated it. It had some very interesting ideas, and I thought that they were very well executed. But I didn't overall. I got kind of bored at times, but it's still a 4-star film, I would say. Yeah.
Well, I think maybe for our next thing, you and I should do the Your Name movies.
Ooh.
Your Name, Weathering With You, and Suzume, which is coming to Netflix soon as well.
Oh, shit.
So I think that should be our next thing, because wow. The movies are absolutely incredible. I made you watch A Silent Voice, right? Or was it Weathering With You I made you watch?
We watched
one of them.
I watched Your Name on my own, and we watched Weathering With You together.
Okay, that's what it was.
I don't think I've ever seen a silent voice, but it's not related, right?
No. I just couldn't remember because I always sort of relate them because I watched Your Name and A Silent Voice like one after the other.
Okay.
So I love them both. Okay, so Suzume is on Netflix now. Suzume is the third film.
And it's characters like similar.
The second one, Weathering With You, has references to the first one because the characters from the first are in it very briefly.
Okay,
Suzume
right.
Suzume is referenced to Weathering With You in only the sense that, literally half of Japan is underwater. And
yes.
It's just kind of like that now.
Okay.
And that's kind of the only, like, relation to the last film.
Okay.
And my thing with it is, I always love Weathering With You, right? It's my favorite. And the longer I sit on Suzume, the more and more I think it might be my favorite.
Really? Have you seen it more than once?
Yeah, I've seen it twice.
Okay.
I saw it in theaters, then I watched it again on my own. Suzume is... I listen to all the soundtracks, but Suzume's soundtrack is even more different. The more I stew on, like, I don't want to talk about it yet, because if we are going to watch them, mm-hmm. I'll save it for that. But I think that should be our next thing, is we should watch these films together.
Yeah, I mean, I've created a list of things that we're definitely going to do. I mean, I briefly made it a thing that I'm going to, like, put at the end of this podcast, but I'll say it briefly here. We're doing more of these. We're going to be, like, making this a thing and making our own podcast feed for it. And
doing Gundam.
We're doing Gundam. We're doing Kingsman. We're doing... I'm going to make you do Cloverfield.
I'd love to. I love the first Cloverfield. the Cloverfield Paradox is fucking stupid, but...
We can do anything. That's like the... And I mean, I have plans. I'm excited to just make it either film retrospectives, maybe some game retrospectives sometime. But like, it's just going to be mainly a retrospective shooting the shit podcast. And I'm super excited to do it with you and to have people listen. So, but that's a brilliant idea. And I'm down to have that be next. Maybe I will, give it a teeny bit of time because I'm hoping. So I'm also bringing back Indie Book Club. That's going to be hopefully starting in a couple of weeks. I can do them simultaneously. It's just, I want to make sure our fucking Game of the Year stuff just gets out because I'm currently editing all of that. I want to get all that out and then I'm fine to juggle two podcasts. I just want to be like, all right, clean slate. And then,
as you said, I sit in one place all day. So, you know, I could work around your schedule.
Wow.
In fact, maybe I'll rewatch all three of the movies tomorrow.
I didn't mean that in a mean way.
I didn't even mean that as like a sarcastic, retorting way. Like, I do.
Oh,
I do
okay.
Sit in the same place all fucking day. Like,
okay. I
sit at my desk all day. I got everything I need here.
He thinks I called him a fucking couch potato or something.
I'll have you know I'm a chair potato. Thank you very much.
Where's Your Name? Where can I watch that?
That
I might own it.
That one kind of bounces around.
I think I own it on, because it was like $5 on Amazon one time.
Yeah,
I
thought it was on Amazon at one point. It's so, Suzume, you can watch on Netflix. It like just came there. Your Name. So Weathering With You is on HBO Max.
Oh, sick. Because that's expensive to buy. It like never goes down.
Yeah, that was like the first Blu-ray I've ever bought for myself.
Hmm.
Was to watch it with you. But yeah, Your Name is somewhere. But so Weathering With You is on Max. Suzume is on Netflix.
Hulu? Let's see, just
I bet
watch.
It's on Hulu. Hulu is a bunch of anime.
I've never seen Your Name pop up in any like streaming things I've scanned. Your Name. It is on Crunchyroll.
I was going to say, is it still on Crunchyroll? I thought it left Crunchyroll a while back. But, it
says Crunchyroll subs and...
Yep, it's on Crunchyroll.
Prime Video with Crunchyroll.
Yeah,
and
it's
the
on
Criterion channel, whatever that is.
Oh, that's like the movie collection thing where they collect classic movies.
They have a streaming service, though?
I don't know. The Criterion Closet. But yeah, Your Name is incredible. And I actually haven't watched Your Name... in maybe 4 or 5 years. So I'd actually be down to rewatch. Yeah, because, well, I mean, I watched it, like, I originally found, like, a rip of it on YouTube and watched it there. And then literally the week after it came to theaters in America. So then I saw it there. Then I think I showed it to Gilmar, like, a year later or something.
It's damn good. It made me cry.
No, Your Name's incredible. And it made me cry with, like, not even sadness, just emotion. Because at the end, when they're on the stairs, they're like, turn the fuck around! it's awesome. Weathering With You, I cry so hard when they're like falling through the sky together. They finally kiss. I cry so hard. And I didn't actually cry on Suzume. I got emotional, sure, but Suzume is, I think, they're all coming of age stories, right? But I think Suzume does that even better, and it feels like way more of an adventure because they go all over Japan.
Huh.
But it's not really a love story. She has this crush on this college dude. But it's a coming of age story because it's like you have those like crushes as a kid, those like stupid crushes that don't make any sense and aren't going to happen. And I think because of that, it's an even better coming of age story because it's, I don't know, she just feels like a real, way more of a real person. Not that the others don't, but it's like, I see that, I'm like, yeah, that's definitely something that like just happens to people. So definitely, I think that should be our next thing.
Yeah, that'll be our next thing. So, I mean, whenever, by the time this goes up, anybody who wants to follow along, go and watch Your Name. It's pretty easy to find. I mean, it's probably going to be cheap to buy even, and it's honestly worth the purchase. So just suck it up. Suck it up, Buttercup. Buy that shit, and we'll talk about it soon. But yeah, did you have any more notes on Kong, or were you good?
Just that Biollante is trending because people really want Biollante in the next movie.
That's awesome. Well, they should go for it, because that I think that would Biollante would work well in like an animated setting. They could do,
I mean,
like, really
probably
cool.
Yeah, I would have to wonder how the CGI is going to go for that.
Yeah, because
it's just so different. I don't,
the tentacles,
like,
and the gore.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really know how they do it. That's not for, well, me to figure out.
It's for Adam, not Adam Wingard. What's
Adam,
his name? Yeah,
Adam Levine of Maroon 5 fame.
Gareth Edwards. Adam Levine. It's for Adam Levine to find out.
Yeah.
Adam Scott of Parks and Rec fame.
Yeah, yeah. Adam Levine will see Biollante and go, holy fuck. Holy fucking fuck. Your body is insane.
You will. He will.
I'll say this. Like, well, you're like some sort of rose.
Oh, that's perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining me and coming into the MonsterVerse with me.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here.
Except, or beyond it, beyond the Monster Spider-Verse, across it,
beyond the monster. Go drink Prime Energy.
We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you so much for listening. I wanted to put a little message at the end of this recording that I had actually recorded after I got out of the movie, but as I said, it was downpouring, and apparently that made my audio quality really, really terrible, and it was just a mess. So I'm re-recording this after the fact, and yeah, I mean, you just heard our thoughts on Kong X, Godzilla X Kong, the new empire. And like DJ said, as soon as he stood up in the theater, he was like, guys, that might be my favorite of the MonsterVerse films. And there was something about him saying that made me really happy, because like that's why I wanted to do this. I mean, I wanted to relive these films, and thankfully it lined up in a way that we were able to top it all off with actually going to a new one and talking about a new one. And I wish I could have gotten it out sooner. I apologize for the wait, but I hope it was worth it. So yeah, thank you so much for listening to this series and following along with us. If you haven't shared it around, please do. Please spread the love of the MonsterVerse with those who have either experienced it years ago along with the movies, or they've never seen them at all. Do a movie marathon. Do a podcast marathon.
who could be tired of listening to me and DJ talk for like almost 10 hours? But I digress. If you're not tired of listening to us talk, then you're in luck, because as I hinted briefly in this podcast, we are going to be making a new podcast feed. Our new show is going to be called VGU Gaiden, a retrospective podcast. We're going to be primarily film podcast. I might call it a retrospective film podcast, but then we'll do like some game stuff in there at times. But it's mainly going to be me and DJ getting together, doing these. And yeah, I mean, I've got a ton of ideas. A lot of them we've thought up through the episodes, so you know about them anyway. He mentioned that our first one coming up is going to be, well, our first one might be a Gundam commentary. I don't know how that's going to work. It might just be a YouTube video, which you should also check out our YouTube channel. Please subscribe, share that around. It's in the description. But yeah, so that might be a video.